Welcome to an all-new episode of SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. Thanks so much for joining us wherever you may be watching today. We've got a jam-packed show. As always, busy weekend in the SJHL. We're also going to be joined by Yorkton Terriers defenseman Anthony McIntosh. Get his thoughts on his season so far, of course, with the Terriers, and of course, his time at the SJMJ Showcase representing the SJHL this past week. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's thank our great sponsors here at the SJHL. Of course, our presenting sponsor is UPL, so a big thank you to UPL for sponsoring all of our shows, and of course, our other good friends, Borgo, Cantera Seeds, Capital Automall, Chevrolet, Great Western Nutrient, RBC, Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, SAS Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, UPL, Sask Energy, SGEU, SGI. Thanks so much for your support. Without your support, these shows are not possible. Let's bring in our co-hosts. It's Jamie. It's Rory. Fellas, how was your weekend?
Great first weekend out of the SJHL Showcase. Yeah. We had a lot of home and homes, which I love. You had two teams go 2-0, two of the matchups split. One team went 0-2, and if you thought you'd have more clarity heading into the playoff race after this weekend, you were wrong. So it was great, though. Great matchups all around, and I can't wait to break them down.
Yeah, for me, I just hope I remember how to broadcast a hockey game when the Hounds host the Bombers on Wednesday night at the Dunk Tank, because it's been since January the 25th since the Junior Hounds have played a game. But anyways, I had a nice time. I made some granola. I made some cookies. Mm. I cooked some supper for my wife and kids. And I watched some SJHL hockey, including Rory, who had a terrific call at the EPA when the Broncos played the Melville Millionaires. I kind of watched the whole game. So great call.
Can I ask you, is the granola, like, is that for like eating a cereal? Or do you put it in like a salad
good
or something?
Good question.
Just kind of whatever.
I have a bunch of uses for my granola. Okay. One is Granny Smith apple, peanut butter. Dip in the granola, take a bite, but also some yogurt, some milk.
Right.
But yeah, it's good granola for sure. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, no, and you can find out more on Granola Weekly with Jamie Neugebauer coming up this Wednesday on IKS Media. Let's get into the weekend recap. A busy weekend, 10 games on the schedule. So let's pull up Friday, five big games. Yorkton doubling up Estevan 4-2. Humboldt 5-2 over Melville. Battlefords with a 5-4 shootout win over LaRange. A big win for Hockey Night in the North for the Flin Flon Bombers. 8-0 over Nipwin. And Weyburn with a 5-4 overtime victory over the Kindersley Clippers. Then on Saturday, five more games. Humboldt completing the weekend sweep of Melville, winning 5-3. Melfort 5-0 winners over Nipwin. Estevan earning a split over Yorkton 7-4. Battlefords over LaRange by the same score. And Kindersley with a bounce back win 4-1 over Weyburn. And as always, all of our look backs are presented by Sask Lotteries. All right, it was a busy weekend, 10 games. Like Rory kind of mentioned, lots of splits and everything. But we talked about it before the show. And usually we talk about, you know, the success of a team to start the show, having a big weekend. But this show, we're going to start a little bit different. It's kind of the opposite because it's the struggles of the Nipwin Hawks that really stand out. You saw them lose both their games this weekend. I do believe they've lost five straight. They didn't even score a goal this weekend. And I think a lot of us are wondering, what is going on with the Nipwin Hawks?
Yeah, you know, for the first time this year, I believe it is, for the entire season, they're out of the playoffs right now. Yeah. In ninth place, 1 point behind the Weyburn Red Wings. Seven in a row, two of them they got points in, but they have lost seven in a row, shut out in both these games this weekend. We kind of talked about their defensive issues. They want to tighten that up, but now their offense hasn't scored in 154 minutes. To me, the Nipwin Hawks, they're a dangerous team. If you line up against them in the first round of the playoffs, I don't think anyone still wants to do that.
Sure.
But right now, they're in a boat. There's a hole in the boat, and they've been given a bucket. So they're able to scoop the water out faster than it's filling in. But if this continues, the bucket's going to turn into a spoon. And they're not going to be able to scoop that water out any faster. And there's some issues. The top seven scorers, Ronan and Artem Rabovetsky, have 1 point in the last seven games. Braxton has 2 points in the last seven games. Finley Radloff, Alex Bernauer, Evan Forrest, and Liam McInnes have 3 points in the last seven games. That's their top seven scorers on the team. So offense kind of dried up. Defense not hanging tight. And they've given up the last 15 straight goals. So we always say there's no reason for panic, but if this continues, they're out of a playoff spot right now. They got to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, then you throw in Chase Visser, who they were really high on coming through. He doesn't have a point in 2024. So, you know, that's tough. You know, again, you don't panic. The schedule for Nipwin recently, we do recognize has been hard.
Yes, absolutely.
The Melville Millionaires, we've seen them all. They're beating everybody when they won their night. You know, in LaRange, in Kinistano, they played a game in Kinistano as sure. well, did the Nipawin Hawks. Again, those Nutrisite games, games could go either way, a lot of one-goal games as well. For Nipawin, you know, what happened with Maguire Ratzlaff? I don't really know what's going on with him with this season, but a bit of a tough year for him. But looking forward, I think, is more important for Nipawin.
Sure, absolutely.
Got a couple against Kindersley. They have Notre Dame. They have three against Kindersley. They got Estevan. They got Weyburn twice. So they got Yorkton. They got everybody kind of around them.
Yeah.
You made a...
Here's the good news. Yeah, I have the stat. They have 14 games remaining. 12 of them are against the teams that they're fighting for a playoff spot with. So despite these recent struggles, they still control their own destiny.
Right.
So maybe, like you said, Rory, like, yes, the struggles have been there for the last seven games, but...
They still got a bucket.
They control their own... They still technically control their own destiny as long as they take care of business, and BTO.
And we talked about this even going into the playoffs last year about the Nipawin Hawks, right? They have high-octane offense. They've got a lot of weapons.
Yep.
Can Tad Cozen get them to buy in to working as hard, going back to their own end and playing hard deep in their own zone? You know, like Nipawin Hawks teams of old, we'll say. And then as they do going forward, because they can fly when they can fly. And you know, you mentioned they're not going to be fun in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They got lots of team speed, right? Mm-hmm. But they won't be. It'll be a little bit more fun if they don't figure out how to play a little bit heavier and harder in their own zone. I think, you know, adding Liam McInnes again added to their scoring pedigree on the back end. I think they need to be a little bit heavier in the D zone, and that's just what it's all about. But as I said, we talked about it. They got a schedule that's a little bit more favorable coming up.
They got a goalie. They got a power play. Mm-hmm. They got a home ice where no one wants to go into, and they have guys that can put the puck in the net. That's a team that no one wants to go up against in the playoffs. They just got to figure it out and make sure they get in, because right now they're not.
And who's going into the Whitney Forum these days and doing good anyways? Yeah. I mean, 8-0, and it was... You know, it was Matt Egan back, and I'll talk about a bit more about that during Nugs and Notes. And it was free admission night as well
at
the Whitney Forum. When it's going bananas up there in the Whitney, I mean, I think Tad Cozen, I'm sure he's frustrated with a bunch of things, but that result, you kind of just...
It's tough.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, for Flin Flon and Melford, they just continue to roll. Just your guys' thoughts on those two teams from this weekend. Just the one game, obviously, for both of them.
Yeah, both, I mean, doing what they got to do to not only prove that they're going to be a juggernaut, going to be have the championship aspirations, but Melford getting healthy, it closes up the one or two gaps that maybe you thought they had in the roster. They don't.
Yeah.
And Flin Flon is Flin Flon there. The runaway favorites right now to win the SJHL and potentially win the Centennial Cup. I don't think you can argue against that. Just with they've been playing so good, they're so deep, they're so fast. I mean, they have a plus 540 shot differential. I've never seen that in my life.
That's pretty good.
That's insane. They've only been outshot three. I think it's four times this season. 540 plus on the shot differential.
And the Melford Mustangs have given up four goals in their last four games. Yeah.
And so it's the typical styles of both of those teams, right?
And James Venn. He looks better than he ever has. Like, he looked awesome in Wilcox. He looked awesome at the Centennial Arena. And if Melford could just stay healthy, I really think they could run with anybody in this league. They really can.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's move on to two teams battling for a playoff spot. And you know what? The season series between these two clubs, between Weyburn and Kindersley, I don't know if you can get much closer. But an exciting weekend between Weyburn and Kindersley. Kindersley gets 3 of 4 points. Weyburn gets a valuable 2 points. Just your thoughts on those two teams this weekend.
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, Cash Arntzen, you know, obviously what a great servant he's been for the Kindersley Clippers over his time. So all the best to him. Obviously, he's taken a step away from the game due to injuries, we understand. So great Kindersley Clipper, and they loved him over there, apparently. But, yeah, I think the Clippers played well both nights, to be honest. 3 of 4 points. For them, they're 2 points ahead of Weyburn now. It seems like 1 week this team's in trouble, the other week's in that trouble. I said last week I was worried about Kindersley, and a big part of that was I'd wondered about the health of Logan Linklater. Clearly, Logan Linklater is fine. 3-point night there, and a remarkably quick return from an injury for Logan Linklater with his injury there. Three games without a goal out of the last 13 for Tylan Hilbig, a.k.a. he's on fire. 15 goals in that span. He's been absolutely impossible to stop. Kindersley's won 4 wins now this year when they trail after 2. And pretty good story, boys. John McPherson getting the start in net there. He hadn't played since January the 5th and the AJ with Canmore. And, you know, they kind of fit it under the wire in terms of the deadline and listing people and carding people. And it all worked out. Former Regina Pat Canadian. And he was really good in the second game of the double bit there against the Weyburn Red Wings. And the last thing I'll say, Logan Linklater, 100 SJHL games. Congratulations. Feels like he's been around for 1,000 years. Yeah. But his 100th game, 102 points. Over that four-point weekend for him, and obviously the Clippers and everybody is better. The league is better. The Clippers are definitely better when Logan Linklater's in the lineup, and they showed that this weekend. And I think the Weyburn Red Wings, I don't know, they're not happy probably, but they're probably going to feel a little bit fortunate even to come away with 2 points, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. They've, you know, had the lead. Weyburn has at one point in every one of their last four losses, right? Yeah. So far, just teams are coming back on Weyburn, can't hold on to those leagues. You mentioned it with Logan Linklater. He is the biggest influx into a roster when we didn't anticipate him coming back this fast. No. And you were maybe worried about Kindersley a bit without him, right? Because he is such a big piece. And is there more of a peanut butter and jam than Logan Linklater and Tylan Hillbig, regardless if they play on the same line or if they break them up, they come together for a power play. They just complement each other so well.
Well, to your point there, as I said, only three out of the last 13 games has Tylan Hillbig been held without a goal. Two of those three games
without
Logan Linklater in the lineup. They're both from Kindersley. They grew up together. The chemistry between them is undeniable. So I'm not chirping Tylan Hillbig. He's having a great year.
He's unsung by us. Yeah. That is our fault of the year he's having. Yeah. We haven't talked about him enough.
And you know what? He had a superb SJMJ showcase for the Saskatchewan.
And he was a late ad.
And it's always interesting with the SJHL, MJHL showcase. It always seems like those late ads are usually the players that always had Herlicka last year. I mean, even Clay Sliva this year had a great SJMJ showcase as well. And obviously for the Kindersley Clippers to get a very important 2 points this weekend. But it was an exciting two games between these two hockey clubs over the weekend. And that is actually where we're going to go to for our Tourism Saskatchewan highlight of the week. Have a look.
Pass the pinching Jeffries. That's gloved ahead. But Linklater knocks it down. 2-on-1. Evans and Linklater. 3-on-1. Diaz. Over to Linklater. What a save by Zoll. Unbelievable. He robbed Diaz on a spectacular. That's the best save I've seen this season. Wow.
And we've been spoiled, actually, with really good saves this year when it comes to good goaltending. But, you know, we touched on, obviously, Kindersley gets 3 points this weekend. Weyburn gets 2 points. And, of course, we're going to get into all the other stuff. But let's pull up the standings if we have it in the back. Obviously, it is really tight right now in the SJHL standings. And you can just see kind of from 5, even all the way down to 11 right now. It's every game matters, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to let your homework and handiwork fall by the wayside. So if you want to pull up that future game sheet that you made, let's look at the four teams from 5 to 8. Mm-hmm. Estevan, right, they are, now there's 5 points clear of the playoff line. Mm-hmm. How many games do they have remaining against the teams fighting?
8. 8 out of 14.
Which is the fewest.
Yes.
Melville, which is 4 points out of the playoff line, has how many remaining?
14 of 17.
A lot, which means I'm guessing Kindersley, Weyburn, and Nipwin are also going to be high.
Yes. Kindersley, they are also 8 out of 14, similar to Estevan.
Yep.
Weyburn has 13 of 16 against the teams around them in the standings. Yep. Nipwin, 12 of 14, which would be, you're going by percentage-wise because everybody's got different games in hand. That's the highest one. And then even Yorkton has 80%, 12 out of their 15 remaining.
That's crazy.
And Melford, 8 out of 13.
If you're not excited for this final month and a half push to the playoffs, just listen to that. 80%, 85% for some teams. These are playoff hockey already, and we're a week into February.
Yeah, and, you know, it was interesting to hear Cam Hrdlick on our show talk about how Jason Tatarnik was talking to his guys about the fact that a lot of people have kind of done the Estevan Bruins favors.
Yep.
I guess they're all doing each other favors because they're keeping each other in the loop. Nobody's pulling away. So, it's been interesting and it's continued to be interesting. And that's why you got to keep tuning into our show.
Absolutely. And it's like one team beats one team and then that team beats another team. And it's just kind of like a full circle.
Everyone
kind of stays around the same situation. But you mentioned Estevan. So let's talk about Estevan and Yorkton. Sure. The tale of two different games this weekend. Obviously, Yorkton, both the road teams come out on top, earning victories, and both earn a split.
I mean, you say that. Like, it's a tale of two different games because the results were different, but I think on the ice, they were two relatively similar games. Estevan pumped 73 shots. on Ethan Farrow, who played both games for the Yorkton Terriers. Ethan Farrow was terrific on Friday, a little bit less than terrific on Saturday, and there could be an argument be made based on the scoring chances, the good scoring chances, that Estevan actually played better in the game that they lost than the game that they won. Obviously, getting Dustin Reinas has been huge for the Yorkton Terriers already. I thought he was dynamite in U18 for Warman years ago, and surprised a little bit that he didn't stick as well in Lethbridge and moved on to Prince Albert, where his rights are now. But you know, he's still young. He's still only in 05. Big pickup there for Yorkton as they continue this playoff push. But then you look at special teams as well, boys. Estevan was 3-for-8 on the power play in the first game. Yorkton was 2-for-2. Nobody's stopping killing penalties. Probably it was Saturday. Friday, the special teams were a lot better defensively for Estevan, too. So, you know, it was a very interesting two games. I thought Estevan was probably the better team, actually, over the two games in its entirety. But a five-goal second period really sunk the Yorkton Terriers on Saturday. Yorkton was taking all sorts of penalties. Jeremy, you were actually calling it. But five goals in the second, you don't see that too often. And, yeah, I think Jason Tarnak's probably pretty happy with the trend that he's seeing from his guys lately.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. Obviously, there was a lot of penalties in that hockey game on Saturday. Yeah. And I think if you're Yorkton and you're hopeful to try and get back into the race for a playoff spot, I mean, we talked about it. We talked about before Christmas. And I think, Nugsy, you and I were texting after this game, but their special teams hasn't been great this year. I mean, going into the weekend, they were 12th in power play and 12th in penalty kill. And it kind of – their power play didn't burn them on Saturday. It was really their penalty kill. And I think – if they're going to have success moving forward, if they want to get back into this race and potentially get into a playoff spot, I do think they're going to have to be a little bit more disciplined going forward, because that kind of burned them on Saturday in a pretty, and it was a great crowd on hand in Yorkton, and they did have a good pushback. But yeah, it was the power play goals against them that really kind of burned them in that one.
That's what you want to see, right? You want to see the fans show up for the Yorkton Terriers. Of course, they did put out that statement about the financial troubles. So happy to see the fans that did show up and support that game on Saturday. You know who's been showing up all year? And I'm very excited because he's our guest this week.
Oh, he's awesome.
Anthony McIntosh is the real deal. He might be a little undersized, but this kid defends as good as any. And offensively, wow, you got to keep an eye on him because he's a special talent and young as well. I love Anthony McIntosh. Yeah, I have for a while.
Yeah, he's, you know, Benny was on The Insider. You guys were talking about him. And not big, but like, same with like Connor Bedard, kind of, right? Like big, not big, tall, but thick, powerful, lower body, powerful, similar kind of body as Connor Bedard. So, you know, again, that's high praise, obviously, but he's so good in his own end. Anthony McIntosh really takes care of that first. And man, what a nice guy to be paired with usually as well in Tyson Perkins down there in Yorkton in order to learn from somebody. And I have a point on Tyson Perkins, actually, in Nugs and Notes, so a little tease there for you.
Good tease.
But, yeah, certainly, Rory, Anthony McIntosh was great at the showcase, which you guys really covered well on The Insider, and he was great again this weekend. He needed to be. Played a lot of minutes.
Yeah, and I said it to Commissioner Kyle McIntyre. I think I said it on Thursday's show, but out of all the players at the SJHL and JHL showcase, Anthony McIntosh was the player for me that played the best out of all three teams in the SJHL. He was superb, and we look forward to talking to him here in a bit. Let's move on to Humboldt-Melville. Humboldt earns one of the two teams that goes 2-0 this weekend. Obviously, Rory, you were there. What was the difference? Because obviously Humboldt coming off those two tough losses to Estevan.
I think maybe the one team that wasn't in the total desperation in terms of their games and wins was the Broncos, right? There's still that 16-point gap from fourth to fifth, but they were needed, these wins. The Broncos had lost five of their last six, so although playoff implications, home ice implications, maybe weren't in jeopardy quite yet, this team needed to find a way to pick up some wins, and better yet, to pick up both of them. Jacob Streetsy, you see him score a goal right there on that last highlight. Boris Kaufman, they're getting acclimated to the SJHL style now. They both finished the weekend with 4 points in two games. They don't often trail after second periods, but Saturday's game was their first win when trailing after the second period, so they came together. And I mean, I'm just impressed with Melville too. They're just always around. They're always on your side. They skate. They're one of the hardest working teams in the SJHL, in my opinion. You're up by two. They come back tied up in both games, but you know, just humble being able to not let penalties deter them. They took six straight times to the box in the second game. Don't let up two-goal lead slipping up. Don't let that deter you. Just, you know, keep trying to find a way to find points. And that was kind of the bread and butter for them. Ben Motu was a little shaky at start in both games and then solidified throughout the second and third period. But, yeah, I'm just thinking that a couple wins, you know, the skill guys go off and play at the showcase. The character guys stay home. And they, you know, I think maybe it was good for both sides, right?
Sure.
To kind of just get a step away, have a week off. It was a busy road stretch for them, right?
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of guys that were impressive at the showcase that maybe the greater hockey world didn't recognize, Jaden Nyogan, I thought was awesome. We've loved him all year.
He was great. Yeah.
He was great at the showcase as well. I think you made a joke or something on Twitter, the league Twitter, was like, is Anthony McIntosh allowed to pass to Jaden Nyogan or something like that? Because obviously McIntosh, Yorkton, and Nyogan, Melville. But anyways, great feed, one to the other. That's the fun thing about the showcase, rivals playing with each other. Nyogan, boys, he's got 7 goals on special teams this year, 4 power play goals, 3 shorthanded goals out of 13. Which is quite the ratio. But I don't know what you make of that other than the fact that Jaden's a really good hockey player. And he's only an 05, too. So he's got a really bright future. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He kind of has, you know, all the tools that you're looking for. But you're right, Rory. Like, the Melville Millionaires. I know Doug Johnson is a very perfectionist, we'll say, with his team. Again, the Humble Broncos rested and recharged and got Connor Toohey back. And guys recharged from the showcase and refreshed. I think they kind of looked a little refreshed at different times, the Broncos, and taking advantage of that late 5-on-3. The third period there could have gone either way on Saturday, but that 5-on-3 was huge, obviously. And, you know, in the end, the Broncos found a way to win, too. So both coaches, I think, should be kind of happy coming out this weekend. And
both are so young, right?
Yeah.
So for the Melville Millionaires, you know, don't get comfortable, right?
No. Doug won't let anybody get comfortable.
Play with this uncertainty, right? Because it's going to be a tough push down the stretch. Yep. We know that they have the games in hand. They're fighting for the playoff spots. But a lot of the players on both Humboldt and on Melville have not played this deep of a season. 56 games is a lot, right?
Six
ice times a week with practices, 2 hours a day with the Melville Millionaires, right? An hour and a half or whatever it is with the Broncos. It's a lot. And for a lot of the young players, it's going to wear down on you. So don't get comfortable, right? You know, if you go up 2-0 and fall down 2-2, it's going to happen at this time of the year. I love Melville's response. I love the Broncos' response for two young teams that are going to experience it for the first time.
And if that's 4-5 in the playoffs first round or 3-6 or whatever, I'll take it. That would be fun.
I mean, they played each other 5 times, and it was a 3-2 split. Right?
A lot of fun.
So no one would be surprised if it goes 7.
And you mentioned getting busy, and this is what the point I'll just, I guess, to put a bow on this is, with Melville, 6 weeks left in the season, they're going to play 3 games pretty much every week moving forward for the rest of the season. So a lot of hockey still in Melville to be played with a lot of meaningful games. Before we get to Nukes and Notes, we got to talk about just Battlefords, obviously. 2 big wins again at home, and they keep holding on to second place in the SJHL standings. But, I mean, they've been red hot other than obviously those 2 games against Flin Flon. They continue to play some good hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I think the LaRange Ice Wolves played well this weekend, too. I didn't know they didn't get the results, and I know that's going to stink for them. But, they didn't play bad at all at the ACC, and could argue in the first game they might have been the better team. Actually, they were up 3-0, but then late just scoring Brad Blake just over a minute, you know, after Max Henderson gave the Wolves the lead, and then you go to overtime, and you never know what can happen. Kian Bell, I guess the only thing better than Kian Bell is Kian Bell after a mini slump. Because he had a mini slump coming out of New Year's and Christmas.
3 games?
Something like that. For Kian Bell, that's a slump, but it is a 7-game point streak now, 20 points, all but 1 multi-point game. So he's en fuego. He's well ahead now of Justin Lees, in fact, at top of the scoring charts. He's got, 71 points already, Kian Bell? And 71 points in 29 games, 29 goals, 2.45 points per game. So I don't know if we'll get to the 3 points a game. I don't forget what the mark was that we talked about when he came in.
It was 3.
Was it 3? So 2.5 is probably realistic for Kian, but there you go. Pretty impressive stuff. But yeah, I mean, as I said, LaRange didn't play bad at all. But what have we talked about all years, fellas? Battleford's in the third period. It's like an inevitable. It's one of the hardest things to figure out. I talked about talking to Chile. I talked about Braden Klimosko, head coach GM there. What is it about your thirds? And they just said, I don't know. We're probably the depth of the team is a big piece of it. They come at you in waves. You deal with Kian Bell's line, then Jordan Allen or Jackson Allen's line's coming at you, then Hunter Bergeson's coming at you, and you go down, and it's a hard problem to stop because they're so deep. But Yeah, they've scored 81 goals in third periods and only given up 45. They're plus 36 in third periods. So, yeah, really impressive.
Yeah, Battlefield just finds a way even when it might not be their best game, right? Yeah. I have a quick question for you guys.
Okay.
Because when Kian Bell came into this league this season, right?
Yeah.
We thought, could he finish first in the league? Well, of course he could. He's very, very talented, right?
Yeah.
Another question here. Is it possible that he even gets more points than he had last year?
Whoa,
based off of what he's doing. Last year he had 102 points. He's 30 points away with 13 games remaining. Do you think he breaks 102? Because we thought he would, you know, when he missed the first 10 games.
Schedule.
Can he can he lead the league in points? Well, he's leading the league in points by a large margin right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can he lead the league in points more than he even did last year in less games? He needs 30 points in 13 games.
Yeah, and the other thing you have to think about, too, is if, you know, they get into the last weekend of the regular season,
is he playing?
Yeah. That type of thing.
They have a couple flin-flons. They got a couple Humboldts in there. Yeah, I'm going to say no.
30 points, 13, too many.
I'd say too many.
I'd have to do a quick mental math, but based off of his 2.65 or whatever it is.
4.5.
That's right there.
Yeah.
That is the exact number I think he needs.
Yeah. And if he ever watches this, I don't know if he does, but if he does, it's probably going to be fuel for the fire. There you go. But I'm going to say no.
So Noogsy says no. All right, let's move on.
I'll say yes. I'll say yes just to play the other
coin. Kian knows that I love him.
All right, that'll do it for our recap. Of course, a very busy weekend in the SJHL. But before we go to break, as always, we got to go now to Noogs and Notes. So Noogsy, take it away.
Yeah, I'll try to make this quick. I have a bunch of points. Matt Egan returned from his cancer treatments / suspensions. Great stuff. I reached out to his dad, Jeff. Talked about how his mom, Tanya, their sister, Jordis, and he are overwhelmed with all the support that he received over the time. Quickly, he recovered from surgery and worked so hard to get back into the lineup in such a short period of time has blown all of our minds, is what Jeff said. 4 points in that win against Nipawin as well, so congratulations for coming back, Matt. Really awesome. Happy to see that. A little quick update on the AJHL, BCHL situation. The 5 AJHL teams that have joined the BCHL will engage in competition with each other, have a playoff format of some kind, and they'll play the BCHL champion. There you go. The sponsor for today is Phantom Light Distillery.
Ooh, good one.
All 7 partners were born and raised in Saskatchewan, so it's a very Saskatchewan-based company. And it's named after the St. Louis Ghost Light, a.k.a. the Phantom Light. This light is mysteriously seen on the abandoned train tracks outside of St. Louis, Saskatchewan, which is 30 minutes south of the Phantom Light Distillery, which is in, I guess, Prince Albert. So just south of Prince Albert.
Oh.
And in St. Louis is a village of 415 people.
Nice.
So I thought that's where the Blues played.
Hey, a funny man over here. All right, 2 more things. Bob Mollett, one of my buddy, Jacob Faith's buddy, one of my favorite refs in the league and good human being, came back from a long injury, refereed in Melville. I meant to talk about it last SJHL Weekly show, but I forgot.
Mm.
So there you go. Made sure to mention it. Welcome back, Bobby. We love you. Happy to have you. Regina-based referee, and I'm sure you'll see him around your rink. I think he's a great ref, great guy. And then last point on Noogs and Notes is Tyson Perkins has committed to SJHL University, Red Deer Polytechnic in Alberta. 17 players on their roster are SJHL
alumni.
That's
incredible.
17, Rory. You and I know a few of them probably.
Oh, yes.
And they could have 3 Yorkton Terriers alum on their back end next year.
Wow.
With Tanner Sklaruk and Tyson Jansen there as well. So Tyson Perkins, congratulations to Red Deer Polytech, and they're really, really good in the Alberta Club League as well. So there you go. Congratulations, Tyson Perkins. That's Noogs and Notes.
I'm just now curious who those 3 aren't that aren't from the SJHL that aren't on that team, to be honest with you.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, there's Noogs and Notes. We're going to take a pause. When we come back, we're going to be joined with Yorkton Terriers defenseman Anthony McIntosh. Get his thoughts on the season and much, much more. This is SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms.
This episode of SJHL Weekly is presented by SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.
It's the 2023 model clearout at Capital GMC. Drumroll, please. 0% financing is back. For a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on select new 2023 GMC Sierras. CapitalGMC.ca. We'll be right back.
connecting with customers can be tough, but it doesn't have to be. At Direct West, we have the marketing tools and expertise to help introduce your business to the masses and help it grow. Connect with more customers. Direct West.
As a student, things can pile up fast.
Ouch.
But the RBC Student Banking Bundle makes back to school easier with up to $275 in value. That's a whole pile of takeout.
Enjoying what's around you. That's what it's all about. Farm to table, in season, locally foraged, look out the window and that's exactly what you'll see on your plate. It's the kind of experience that you'll compare everything else to for years to come. And it's so close, you can almost taste it. Indulge in our unlimited lakes and parkland. Saskatchewan.
Today, online bullying is more common than ever, but there is help. Sastel wants to solve this problem. It's why they created Be Kind Online. If you're a victim of online bullying or know someone who is, or even if you just want to stop it from happening to anyone, this is a place to learn what you can do. You can find lots of tools and tips to help you stand up to cyberbullying. Be Kind Online is a place to learn how to stay safe as well, to learn best practices and plans to stop cyberbullying before it even has a chance.
Original 16. Celebrate things done well.
Sask Energy Network members are the best choice for natural gas solutions for your home or business. With comprehensive services like heating equipment maintenance, appliance installation, and in-store financing, they have natural gas solutions that go beyond heating to bring you the comfort, efficiency, and reliability of natural gas, both indoors and outdoors, all year long. For whole home natural gas solutions, network members burn brighter.
Welcome back to SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. It's Jamie, Rory, and Jeremy. We appreciate you tuning in. And it's time now to go to the video chat line where we're pleased to be joined by Yorkton Terriers defenseman Anthony McIntosh. Anthony, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. Really appreciate it. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing great. It's always a good day when we get to talk hockey. First and foremost, big weekend for your hockey club and for yourself as the Yorkton Terriers are in a split against the Estevan Bruins. Just your thoughts on the weekend as a whole and the two games for you guys.
I thought it was pretty good. It's a good thing to split and a bad thing to split, especially this late in the season with us needing to get to playoffs. But no, I thought it was a good weekend. If we could stay out of the box, I feel like we'd have a little different outcome, but some things happen, I guess.
Yeah, Anthony, thank you so much for your time. Got to ask you, it seems to the outside like there was a real swish that might have been flicked for the Yorkton Terriers, maybe around when the Klaas-Leva trade happened with Melfort, something like that. What do you kind of put your finger on this kind of resurgence, or do you feel like it was a steady build? Because on the outside, it seems like it was all of a sudden the Terriers are on fire.
I think it was a steady, build from the inside. Like, we were slowly doing things that would, like, help us out little by little, and then we finally, like, everyone just bought in and decided that, okay, like, we all want to make a playoff push, and yeah. So, yeah.
How exciting is it to be in the midst of this? You know, we looked at kind of the remaining games you have of the season, a lot of them against the teams you need to pass to get into the playoffs. So, you know, just coming to the rink to practice, buying in, you said, you know, earning that belief and then going up against these teams, trying to pick up clean points and get into the playoffs. How fun is that collectively for not only yourself in your first year in the SJHL, but the whole group?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I mean, all of our practices have been very energetic lately because of it too. And we know that if we do good against these teams coming up, then we'll have great success later on in the year.
For sure. And you know what, Anthony? You know, we've seen your game from the start of the year to now, and it seems like you're just kind of going on a high arc when it comes to your trajectory of how your game's going. Personally, how do you think your game's grown throughout this season so far?
I think it's gotten a lot better from the start of the year. I mean, at the beginning of the year, especially being a first year, you're not as confident. You're like kind of trying to like make the lineup and like trying to play every night. And then after that, you're just trying to like build up more and more confidence so that you can play more. So yeah, I think my confidence has gone up a lot. That's helped me play a lot better.
Yeah, awesome. And you know, I also got to ask you, you know, kind of take a step back here as well. I mean, you're a North Dakotan originally, and you know, from Minot, not too far from Saskatchewan. I guess what was kind of your perspective on the SJ growing up, and how, I guess, you know, now that you're here, like pretty wild that you're like not from not that far away.
It was a little different. I mean, we never really like we always knew what the SJ was because I always had like some of my coaches would have played there and like guys that are friends with my dad like played there. So like I kind of knew a little bit about it, but I wasn't like 100% on it. And then once I like, then I like needed somewhere to go. And that was a perfect place for me, I feel like.
You know, your season has been awesome, especially for, you know, first year player in the SJHL. What did it mean to you to kind of come full circle and see your name on the SJHL MJHL showcase list? And you're like, you know, wow, that's a big accomplishment my first year. And just how was that experience?
It was a great experience. I got a lot of support from my teammates, which helped a lot, especially because like we only had the two guys going and they supported me a lot through it and helped me get better in practice. So yeah, it was great. And I was very excited when I saw it. So yeah.
For sure. Okay, take me in the locker room. I kind of asked you earlier kind of about this, but take me in the room, take me in the group when your captain was traded away. Like, you guys are human beings. Like, Clay, by all accounts, seemed like a great person. So you guys trade him to Melfort. I guess, what was kind of the response? How did you feel, and how did you kind of use that as fuel? Because, again, as I said, it seems like it's been rocket fuel. But be honest.
I think it helped us a lot because we're all like, okay, not everyone's like for certain going to be here. Like, I mean, like Clay's a great person and everything. And like the fact that we're trading our captain away in the middle of the year, it's kind of like a big like, whoa, like realization that like we need to like all buy in, or like he'll trade you for someone else that wants to buy in for it.
Awesome, man. What's left? You know, I mean, the Terriers, what are you guys driving, you know, in practice right now? What are you guys preaching? Because you go up against Estevan, you split that. You've been on a tear since January. Just, you know, what are you guys talking about in the dressing room to try and get you guys into the playoffs?
We're definitely trying to figure out our special teams, like trying to get that to be, like get more goals on the power play and get like a lot more stops on the PK so we're not getting scored on. And just like, obviously it's going to happen on the PK, like there'll be good power plays like Battleford and Flynn Fawn and stuff like that. But we just need to figure out our power play and PK. And I think 5-on-5, we're doing pretty good, and just keep focusing on our strengths and focus a little more on our weaknesses.
I agree. Anthony, I'm not sure if you've ever seen the show before, first year in the SJHL, but there's a portion at the end of the interview called Rory's Rapid Fire. I got four quick questions for you. And then just hit me back with your quick answer.
All right.
Obviously, you were at the showcase. Congratulations by that. You were phenomenal. I talked to the head coach of your team, Scott Barney, and he's McIntosh is a heck of a player. He was really impressed. But for yourself, who was that one player that maybe you were impressed with, that you had fun playing with, or even when you were on the bench, just fun watching, where you were like, wow, this guy's great?
Oh, I loved my D partner, Big Ben. He was great. every time we played against him, I was like, I mean, like, he's good, but like, he's very like steady and like blah, blah, blah. But then playing with him, I'm like, oh my God, this kid, just great. I loved playing with him. Great D.
Was there a goofball in the dressing room of the showcase? Or a glue guy? I'll say a glue guy.
I don't know. That's a hard one.
Too many?
I think everyone was pretty just like, a lot of them knew each other from playing against or like playing with each other. So like, it kind of just like they all already like clicked in there, and then they just brought us all with them. So like, I don't think there was one specific guy that like brought everybody together. It was everybody.
Gotcha. So obviously before the SJ, you were part of the Pittsburgh Penguins elite program throughout your minor career. It's my understanding, Nugsy told me, that you guys played your games in the Pittsburgh Penguins practice facility, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. Are the Pittsburgh Penguins your team? And did you bump into any of the guys while, you know, you were going for a game? Maybe they were leaving from practice throughout your time there.
Oh, yeah. So funny story. So my first year there, it was my 16-year-old year. At the end of the year, the goalie coach and Sidney Crosby are like very, very good friends because they grew up playing together and everything. And so I was out there with the goalie coach, me and another kid that I always hung out with, and we were skating with one of the goalies. And then Crosby just comes out from their practice locker room and just starts skating around in the other end and everything. And then he came and shot pucks with us and everything like that.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a great experience.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Are the Penguins your team?
You're in trouble now.
I'm a Sharks fan. My dad's a Sharks fan, so I mean.
That's fair. You keep it in the family. All right, I got one more for you. It's more of like a would you rather type thing. If you had to put yourself in one of these three scenarios, just to get to know you a little bit, would you rather be in a world that's been taken over by zombies? Would you rather be on a deserted island and have to find a way to survive and get off? Or in a world where there's swarms of killer bees that have overtaken?
I'm going on an island by myself.
No kidding.
I think that was the best answer. Yeah, Anthony,
sure. I don't do zombies.
No, yeah. I wouldn't either.
Stay away from the zombies.
Yeah. Anthony, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Congratulations on a great first season in the SJHL, and best of luck the rest of the way in the playoff push.
Thank you.
That is Yorkton Terriers defenseman Anthony McIntosh. Great interview and a great future ahead for the Yorkton Terriers blue liner moving forward with his junior hockey career. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hand out some players of the week and much, much more. This is SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms.
This episode of SJHL Weekly is presented by SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.
The Chevrolet Silverado 1500. Advanced power and capability to tackle the long hauls. Style to make a statement on the streets. Visit ChevroletOffers.ca to learn more.
Your home comfort with high-efficiency natural gas equipment. Sask Energy offers rebates so you can lower your energy use and save money. For a list of rebates, contact a participating network member or visit saskenergy.com.
When you buy a lottery ticket in Saskatchewan, your money really goes a long way. More than 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups receive funding from Sask Lotteries every year. Everyone wins.
Thanks for helping me out and trying to protect me today. It's the kind of thing that, you know, somebody comes out who's not ready, not prepared, and put into an awkward situation without somebody taking leadership and saying, hey, I'm going to protect you. It's going to shorten people's careers. And that's a big reason why we exist and, you know, what drives us to do what we do.
They know how important their role is in the community, being a good leader, you know, showing kids that there is a right and a wrong way to do things and leading the right way, being a positive role model to not just kids in the community, but anybody in the community.
You know, Coach said a lot of great things that are really consistent with the values that we have at the SCSA, and, you know, respect for those around us, respect for those that we work side by side with. Leadership, and part of that is being innovative and collaborative and solving problems together. Really, the last one that you touched on was integrity, doing what's right and doing it the right way. And those things just yield incredible results, not just in terms of making things safe, but really being productive and striving, whether it be, you know, in a game or in your life or in your business.
I think absolutely we try and fill the roles of all those values and just
try to be the best people we can, really. Not only for ourselves, but for our teammates and for the community around us.
Have a lot of fun today. Thanks, guys.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Original 16. Celebrate things done well.
My name is Kyle McIntyre, and I'm the commissioner of the SJHL. We have 12 teams spread out all over this amazing province. 12 teams that hit the road for a combined 324 season games. We take hockey players, we make them better. We make them better at hockey and better at life. That's what the SJHL is all about. We have a great league, we have great teams, great ownership, the best fans, the best partners, and the best sponsors.
Saskatchewan's far north is where the land itself inspires. It's the beauty and power of wilderness, the solitude of a place far removed from what you might know. When this landscape surrounds you, it's like nothing else. Come and let it awaken you, energize you. Come and create your story in our Northern Lights and Waterways, Saskatchewan.
Welcome back to SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. We appreciate you tuning in on this Monday here in Saskatchewan. It's Jamie, Rory, and Jeremy. We appreciate you tuning in, but it's time to hand out some players of the week. So let's get right into it, and we'll start with SGU MVP of the week. And it doesn't happen often, guys, but a defenseman has won SGU MVP of the week. Noogsy, we talk about him all the time. It seems like, as of late, one of the most improved players in the SJHL. Alex Isaac of the Balfour's North Stars, 2 goals, 4 assists, another big week for the defenseman.
Yeah, he's free to freelance. I mean, I see a lot of Tynan Ewer in his game right now, Alex Isaac. The confidence with which Tynan Ewer played last year, now at St. Cloud State. Alex Isaac, kind of similar. 6 points in 2 games as a defenseman against LaRange. 2 more wins for Balfour's, and Alex is a big piece of it.
Is he only 6'1"? Seems bigger than that.
Yeah.
He plays bigger than that, doesn't he?
Yeah. To quote Newsy, he likes to dance, prance, and freelance all over the ice. Yes.
That's why I'm a professional broadcaster.
And do you know what's interesting? I was writing up this morning, quick side story, I was writing up the SJHL Players of the Week article for SJHL.ca. He's only 3 points back of Noah Hoole right now for defenseman scoring. That's incredible. He has, as the last month and a half, he has just taken off. And so good for Alex Isaac.
And not that Noah Hoole's been...
He hasn't slowed down.
No, he's still good.
Isaac, it's been unreal. Yeah. So congratulations, Alex. SGEU MVP of the week. Moving on, Borgo Forward of the Week. Humboldt Broncos went 2-0, Rory. And leading the way, Boris Kaufman, 2 goals, 2 assists.
Yeah, Humboldt and Battleford's the lone two teams to go 2-0 this weekend out of the showcase. Had a goal and assist in both games, and the Broncos scoring was really, really well-rounded throughout the 10 goals that they scored. So Kaufman, as I mentioned before, he has the speed that is really suited for the SJHL game. It just maybe took him a game or two to acclimate to maybe the speed, the physicality. SJHL is a real deal league, and he's looked fantastic. Both his goals are 5-hole, too, so the goalie's got to watch out for that. It didn't look like there was any room to sneak him in, and he popped him between the legs. So
he's got the need for speed.
Yeah.
Boris Kaufman, congratulations, Borgo.
I've been on a Fast and the Furious.
I know, that's why I said need for speed. All right, moving on. Super U Defenseman of the Week. This was actually a really big week for defensemen, even though there was only a couple of games. But Super U Defenseman of the Week, Noogsy, leading the way right now in the SJHL when it comes to goals scored by a defenseman, Felix Allard of the Estevan Bruins. He had 3 more this weekend.
Yeah, 17. On the year now for Felix Allard, another SJHL showcase guy. Did it on the road, as I said. I think the Estevan Bruins played really well over the 2 games in Yorkton, and Felix is always at the middle of it when the Bruins play well.
Yes,
4-game goal streak.
Yeah, and you know what? He was close to having more in that game on Saturday as well. So congratulations, Felix Allard, Super U Defenseman of the Week. Moving on, Direct West Rookie of the Week, and I guess we'll stick with that kind of home and home. For Direct West Rookie of the Week, Rory, Jai Zawadzki of the Yorkton Terriers, a 5-point weekend for the hometown kid.
Yeah, I mean, and he's such a great story, too. A guy that you talk about acclimating to the SJHL. He played double A, right? And then comes in, the Yorkton Terriers native. I love his game. He is, you know, offense elite, but doesn't slack in his own zone for his size. But 5 points in two games is it's a heck of a stat.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know. So teaser, right after this, I believe we're going to have a little fun in games. I'll let Jeremy explain it. But Jai Zawadzki could be a fastest skater in the league type candidate.
He's up there.
He is
Need for speed?
But so kind of undersized for sure, but boy, can he fly. Never seems in trouble because of it.
And you know what? He doesn't shy away from the physicality either.
He's tough.
I mean, watching.
Were you foreshadowing your
A little
picks?
Tease. Okay. Just a tease.
Jeez, he's been teasing all over the
place. I'm a professional broadcaster.
All right, moving on. SaskTel goalie of the week. And guys, for the second time this season, the fact it's happened twice already this year is unbelievable.
It happened again?
Before? It did. It did.
Really?
Oh, earlier on this season, we have a tie for SaskTel Goalie of the Week. Kenneth Marquardt of the Flin Flon Bombers and James Venn of the Melfort Mustangs. And that's because, if you notice in the graphics, they had the exact same stats.
Nothing changed.
Nothing changed. Unheard of. Both having amazing seasons.
And they played the exact same team.
And they played the exact same team. And they made the same amount of saves.
So yeah, tie. You couldn't get a more tie worthy SaskTel Goalie of the Week. So Ben and Marquardt, more shoutouts for them.
Yeah, and they're 1-2 in shutouts on the year, too, in the league. Kenneth Marquardt has 4 shutouts out of 12 wins.
That's good.
4 out of 12 wins. I'm not good at math, but that's a lot.
That's 33%.
That's a high percent.
What I was going to say, though, is even if one of them made one more save, like they probably would have won the award by themselves. They would have been separated.
Figure it out.
What a time. Yeah, second time this happened this year. The previous time happened, I think it was like the third or fourth week of the season, and it was actually, again, Kenneth Marquardt, but it was with his teammate, Harmon Laser-Hume, when they won all 4 games down their 4 and 5 down south, and their stats were pretty much the same.
And I think the Nipwin Hawks are actually to blame because they didn't put up one less or one more shot.
I don't want to blame anybody. So.
If they would have 30 shots, then we would have had a lead in the goalie of the week.
We would have. Yeah. We would have. But you know what? The more the merrier. We get to hand out some more awards. You know, and finally, Cantara Seeds, Saskatchewan Player of the Week. And I think it was Rory mentioning earlier on in the show, maybe a guy we have not talked about enough this season. But I'll say this, including the 2 games this weekend, you add in the SJHL, MJHL showcase. Tylan Hilbig of the Kindersley Clippers had a phenomenal week.
Yeah, hat trick. They're getting the second game against Weyburn, 4 goals. He's up to 28 on the season. He's got a howitzer. He's got great offensive instincts, and he's enormous. What more do you want?
Yeah, you know, nothing.
He protects the puck well.
Nothing. We're good.
6'4", 205 offense.
And
right
he's really good at the point on the power play. Like Clayton Jardine has all these different setups. You watch the Clippers play. They have all these different setups on face-off plays in the O-zone on the power play. Where Tylan does all sorts of different things. Like, he's really the key. Logan Linklater takes the face off, and Tylan goes somewhere. He goes to the half wall, or he goes to the front of the net, or he stays at the point. He's got all these different sets, and Tylan's a big piece of it, too.
No doubt about it. So congratulations, Tylan Hilbig, Cantara Seeds, Saskatchewan Player of the Week. 7 players represented.
Friend of the show, too.
Friend of the show. He was an earlier guest on the show earlier on this year. So congratulations to all 7 players winning awards this week. If you want to learn more about all 7 of them, you can go to sjhl.ca, where the article is live in 1 minute. So you can watch out for that moving forward. It's published, scheduled for 2:10 on sjhl.ca. All right. Well, in the spirit, it was funny yesterday in our group chat. We're talking about what we should potentially do for our third segment. And in the spirit of the NHL All-Star Game, we thought that, you know, they have the skills competition. Well, what if the SJHL had a skills competition? So we're going to run through the skills competitions that the NHL had, and we'd pick our winners of who we think maybe from the SJHL might win it. And of course, who knows who would win it, to be honest with you. We wouldn't know unless we had it. So let's start with fastest skater. Yeah. Noogsy, we'll let you go first.
Yeah, I mean, there are some burners. I don't think it's close, though. Honestly, like, I think my winner is clearly the fastest, in the league.
Okay.
For me, it's Carter Anderson of the Flin Flon Bombers. Like, there's nobody touching Carter. I guess, like, Zach Summers can fly. Like, there's some others. But to me, Carter Anderson is the clear winner.
He was in my competitors list. And at this one, I even put in brackets and capitals. This was the hardest one to pick, was the fastest skater. I went with the winner by 0.02 seconds. Was Jerome Maharaj of the Weyburn Red Wings, who can also burn. I had him competing against Carter Anderson and Dalen Weigle. For the fastest skater. And Jerome Maharaj, it was the edges around the corner. And
sure.
He took the lead, sure. The fastest skater.
For sure. On my list, I also had Carter Anderson. The other player that I had down, just because I've seen him a decent amount this year, is Gabriel Filion, because they love to wind him up on the power play, and usually he just flies through the neutral zone.
Good call.
So those were the two I had. Rory, we'll start with you for the next one. How about hardest shot?
Hardest shot, another hard one. I had Carter Anderson competing in this one too, but the guy who comes out on top over Carter Anderson was Chase Freetmore of the Melfort Mustangs. That one timer, I think, is the hardest in the league, second to maybe Carter Anderson as well. Yeah. 1-2 in the league, but Chase Freetmore hit 101.9 on the shot clock and won.
I mean, I think Carter could honestly win all of these categories. So
fair.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, I had Chase Freetmore also. Yes. I think Vinny Palmerine is right up there when he gets it off. I wish the Hounds would find a way for him to get more of those one-timers off on the power play for Vinny, but he's got a torpedo. Freetmore and Cade Nguyen's is another one I thought of too, but Chase Freetmore.
Yep, same here. Clean sweep for Chase Freetmore. Accurate shooter.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if we had the same on this one.
Noogsy, what say you?
I had Kian Bell.
Kian
Bell, I think Aiden Hutchinson is money.
Yeah.
Also for Melfort, he was in the competition, if you want to put it there. And I didn't really have a third person. Kian Bell and Aiden Hutchinson were my two competitors, but I got Kian.
I had Kian Bell just falling short as the runner-up to the recent and reigning Saskatchewan player of the year, Tylan Hilbig.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I had Hilbig with his 28 goals, 17 assists. He's a pure sniper, and that shot is not only accurate, it's heavy.
Yeah,
so
true.
He's exploding those styrofoam targets.
Yeah.
But I had Tylan Hilbig.
Very good pick. I had Kian Bell as well after seeing him.
We're in sync.
Yeah, after seeing him practice ahead of the SJHL MJ Show showcase with his teammates, I felt bad for the two goalies in that. He was just picking corners. I'm like, yeah. And then when we made this list, I'm like, that made sense. Here's a fun one. This was a new event of the SJHL skill, or not the SJHL, the NHL skills competition this year, the passing challenge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who would you have winning the passing challenge this year? Rory, go for it.
Well, I hope no one participates like Nikita Kucherov did, because he was not at even 10%. A guy who I would go 100% in this, back to the Clippers. I'm going Logan Linklater.
Good one.
I have Linklater winning it. I have Keegan Little as the runner-up.
Yeah, I had Logan Linklater as well. Tyler, teeing up your buddy there, Tyan Hilbig, with their accurate shooter. But a very, very close second, I think, Noah Hull.
That guy can pick
a pass. I know he's a defenseman, and these are offensive categories, but Noah Hull can pick a pass, folks. But Linklater,
I went with Keegan Little. Because he's
42 assists.
It's not really,
he's a monster.
That's what captains do. They share the love, right? And he shares the puck a lot. Finally, breakaways. Mm. Breakaway competition. Who you taking, Noogsy?
Yeah. I mean, this was like there's a million guys in the league that are gonna breakaways.
I mean,
it's kind of how they feel.
We could have made a list one per team.
I'm gonna say there's a dead heat tie in Mayo champion. Whenever Bradley Blake gets an opportunity, or if it's in a penalty shootout, he's the best penalty shootout guy as well in the league. 3 for 4 on penalty shots. Brad Blake of the Battle for the North Stars doesn't miss. And the other Ring the Bell candidate, Spencer Bell, he's got a breakaway, he doesn't miss either. So I'm going to go Brad Blake / Spencer Bell.
I had Brad Blake as well. 3 shootout goals, but also in the run, I took the leading goal scoring league, Justin Lees, because he had to get into a category for me, I had him participate in the breakaway category.
Good one. Yeah. I actually went with, I don't know if you guys remember the beginning of the year, some of the fancy goals he had during the preseason.
I know where you're going with this.
Jerome Maharaj of the Weyburn Red Wings. That's you know what, I went not maybe for the, is he going to score every time? But I definitely went for the flash. So I went
putting on a show for the fans.
He's got razzled
down. All about the fans. So Jerome Maharaj for that. So that was fun.
Very fun.
We don't know who would actually win. Maybe one day at the SJHL. We'll
we need a big sponsor.
We need an All-Star game. Maybe one day.
It would be doable.
Very fun. Yeah.
It would be doable. I mean, it's no different than really the SJHL sending 60 players to Winnipeg for the SJHL MJHL showcase.
Or to Warman.
Or to Warman. Or to bring your whole entire team to Warman. So there you have it. All right. This week in the SJHL fires up tomorrow night. Three games on the schedule. And a good three games on the schedule, too. The Flin Flon Bombers begin four games and five nights in Melville, one of their arch enemies this year. One of two teams that have actually beaten them, not once, but twice.
Yeah.
7 o'clock in Melville. Should be a great contest. Melford's on the road in Weyburn to take on the Wings, and the Balfour's North Stars playing host to the Yorkton Terriers. Then on Wednesday, two more games. Yorkton continuing their two-game little road trip in Kindersley. Should be a big one. And Noogsy finally gets to call a hockey game. The Notre Dame Hounds playing host to the Flin Flon Bombers. But there's only 6 weeks left, guys, in the regular season. Yeah. This week as a whole, what are you guys looking forward to and keeping your eye on?
Yeah, I mean, so if you want to hammer me, that is fine. I don't care. The number 12 team in the league against the number one team in the league, get the 12 teams ranked, you're like, whatever. The Flin Flon Bombers want to win the Centennial Cup. They don't want to just go to the Centennial Cup, fellas. They want to win the Centennial Cup. They want to win the SJ, they want to win the Centennial Cup. The Centennial Cup is on international ice, folks. Mm. Where in Saskatchewan do you get to play on international ice? Well, that's in Wilcox. This is the first time this year the Flin Flon Bombers, or the second time this year, pardon me, that the Flin Flon Bombers are in Wilcox, but it's getting closer to that playoff time, and if they want to win it, I want to see, you know, how they look with all their new guys in the lineup too from the trade deadline and whatnot. So I'm going to be there, and I'm excited to call a game. So I'm actually going to pick Flin Flon and Notre Dame, mostly because I want to see how Flin Flon does on the big ice at this point in the season.
I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and you haven't called a game in about 20 days, so the excitement level must be
thrilled.
You know, when the summer rolls along and comes August, you're just itching to get back to the rink, right?
Yeah, yeah.
20 days is a long time.
That's a long time.
But I mean, guys, it's the SaskTel Game of the Month coming up this weekend.
That's where I was gonna go.
It's gonna be a doozy.
Someone had to say
There it is. Humboldt,
it's
Melford.
A good one too. Yeah.
The two-horse race, as I like to call it.
Yeah,
the Broncos 1 point behind the Melfort Mustangs for third place, and they'll start off a home-and-home set on Friday. There's a lot of good games, but it's the game of the month.
Yeah.
I was, you know what? That was what I was going to say, but I was hoping one of you said it, so I'm glad. It's, you know what? We're all excited. It's going to be a really good game. Obviously, those two teams right now battling for third place right now in the SJHL standings. And then also, I mean, just you look around at some of the matchups for that race, of course, between 5 and 11. I mean, we don't have to run through it all, but obviously that's going to be, you know, interesting just to see if, you know, I feel like we're saying it every week, but is there any going to be any separation from any of these teams? Like, I don't know. We're seeing it a little bit. Guys, can we pull up the standings one more time just to show just everybody how tight it is? Like, Estevan now has a little bit of a cushion. 5 points from Nipwin. That's all, but it's not a big cushion. It's, you know, it's like a throw pillow type cushion.
A throw pillow.
And then obviously Melville's looking to bounce back this week. But, you know, this, again, you know, 6 weeks left in the season. Yorkton's on the road, two games. Like, the games are so important, and it just makes it more emphasis to get out to your local rink.
Well, Melville could really, really crush L'Orange this weekend. Like, it's a huge weekend for L'Orange.
Absolutely.
Like, they got that two-game set between Melville and L'Orange, that in L'Orange as well at home at the Mel. Better get out, L'Orange fans, because it's playoff time right now for the Ice Wolves if you want to make a late run, and there's still some time, so there you go.
Nipawin plays Kindersley, Weyburn plays Yorkton as well, so those are, that's 6-9, or 7-10 for you.
But you look at the games that L'Orange has played already.
I'm just saying,
like, they're all important, but that might be, of that sort of whole thing, that might be the most importantest.
I mean, you got 6 versus 11, you got 7 versus 9, and you have the other two, I can't remember which numbers I didn't say between 6 and 10. But
well, and Estevan's
other numbers.
The standings went away, and I lost track.
And Estevan's lone game this week is at home against Flin Flon, which would be a great game at Affinity Place.
They've been great at home.
They have been great at home. So it a big week in the SJHL. So of course, if you want to stay up to date with everything in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League this season, follow us across the social media platforms. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on X, Instagram, TikTok. You name it. I mean, if there isn't a better time right now to get your Flow Hockey subscription, I don't know what it is. So Get your Flow Hockey subscription for the last 6 weeks of the regular season because the chase for the playoffs is well underway. We should mention, actually, we didn't mention it, but actually over the weekend, the Balfour's North Stars did clinch a playoff spot. Ooh. So two teams have officially clinched a playoff spot in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, Flin Flon Bombers, Balfour's North Stars. And of course, before we go, we got to give a big thank you to all of our great sponsors here at the SJHL. UPL is our presenting sponsor for all of our great shows that we put on. And of course, big thank you to Borgo, Cantera Seeds, Capital Auto Mall, Chevrolet, Great Western Nutri, and RBC Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, Sask Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, UPL, Sask Energy, SGEU, SGI. Thanks so much for your support. Without your support, these shows are not possible. It is going to be another great week in the SJHL, so be sure to get out to your local rink, support your local team, the playoff push, a month left. And to close off, if you are in the area, come out to the game of the month, Humboldt, Melfort, Friday night, Northern Lights Palace. If not, you can tune in on SaskTel Max TV Local. For Jamie Neugebauer, for Rory McGoran, my name is Jeremy Corrigan, and this has been another great episode of SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms.